be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. In the studio with me is comedian Paul Farivar Esquire. On the line with us, I am so grateful for the time that April Rain has agreed to join us for, because she's been busy for the last 14 hours. She has practiced law for nearly 20 years and is now are you the founder of Fractured Atlas, this amazing group? April?
No, I'm the senior director of marketing.
Senior director of marketing, and you guys do a lot of work in the world of art, and your work independently in the idea of challenging the lack of representation in Hollywood, starting the hashtag #OscarSoWhite movement, which people really they think of now. That's something that comes to mind when we watch these award shows. And I was struck by this piece that you wrote for History.com, because people think they know what Martin Luther King Jr. represented, that it was only a nonviolent movement, and it was. And when we talk about like Black Lives Movement, we talk about people taking to the streets. People get annoyed when traffic gets shut down. They don't like when it interrupts their lives. But that was what Martin Luther King Jr. was working on, and in particular in the last year of his life, I don't think people realize that he talked about how rioting is the voice of the people who are not heard. Tell us a little bit about this piece that you wrote.
Well, that's exactly right. I think that history has a way of sanitizing icons, especially Black icons. So we think about the fact that, for example, when Muhammad Ali died a couple of years ago, he was revered, you know, as this stalwart of the Black community, and yet people forget that he was vilified, when he was alive, when he decided not to fight in the Vietnam War. Very similarly with Martin Luther King Jr., he, of course, is held up as this prince of peace, and a champion of nonviolence. And he was also that. But he, remember, he specifically said that, as you said, a riot is the language of the unheard. And so, therefore, there are times when rebellion is necessary. So it seems contradictory to me to hold out MLK, who was about nonviolence and peaceful protests on one hand, and say, yes, that is the man that we all should aspire to, and on the other hand, chastise someone like Colin Kaepernick, who took a nonviolent, peaceful protest by kneeling on the side of a football field. If you have one and you extol the virtues of one, then why do you not do the other?
Well, and people will say that, they keep demanding other ways of protest. We'll find another way to do it. And when people do, that's also doesn't work for them. It's not supposed to work for the people who aren't disadvantaged or who are suffering. Is it?
That's exactly right. I mean, change is hard, right?
If
it was easy, we do it, and everyone would have all of these social and civil rights and economic rights that we all deserve to have. But what we see is it's very difficult, and no one wants to really change the status quo, especially those who are in power. And so sometimes they have to be pushed and pulled and dragged into the current century. And I think that's where we're seeing a lot of movement, not only with respect to civil rights, but also the Me Too and Time's Up movement, where women and men are speaking out about allegations of sexual harassment and assault.
Well, and people also, only have this idea of Martin Luther King with the Jr. of all the big marches that he had. He started in his 20s. And how much have you found that he changed over the course of his lifetime and who we remember him as? And in particular, leading up to the days and when he was gunned down here, as you mentioned in your piece, we think of him as somebody who called for nonviolence and he was violently gunned down.
That's exactly right. So I think that we saw that nonviolence only took him so far. Martin Luther King Jr. was in Memphis, Tennessee on the day that he died, because not only was he starting the Poor People's Campaign, but he was standing with the sanitation workers who had been striking and picketing for several months by that time, right? And so with a lot of the leaders in the Black community, once they began appealing to non-Blacks, and I'm talking about Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Fred Hampton, then they were assassinated. You know, when they were just strictly looking toward furthering the rights and civil liberties of black people, they were just seen as a nuisance and they were sort of tolerated. Martin Luther King was then expanding his reach to all poor people, not just black poor people. Fred Hampton was now starting to work with some of the white and Latino organizations, not just the black organizations, and he was killed at just 21. Malcolm X was about to address the United Nations, which would have been the first time that anyone who was not a politician had the opportunity to do that, and he was gunned down before he had the opportunity to do so.
It is. It's something that I keep asking people. You know, at this point, April, there's almost no reason not to know anything. Do you know what I mean? I mean, Google it. If you don't know something or what happened or why something is the way it is, we have so much access to all of this information. But we also need to keep having conversations. And it is amazing how much social media can both divide us and unite us, because I'll see, you know, women talking about, well, this feminist movement isn't for me. This isn't for women of color. And a lot of the feminists are like, wait a minute, I'm doing my best, rather than hearing why does someone feel sort of displaced or not included. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree. I do not consider myself a feminist, even though I believe in the equal and equitable rights for all women. The distinction is that for me, feminism has never been intersectional. And we see that play out time and time again. Most recently, when Rose McGowan came forward and made her allegations, you know, the white feminist community decided that because Rose's account was suspended on social media for a little bit, that they were going to go radio silent. They just were not going to tweet for an entire day, right? And so they rose up in protest, and that's fantastic. But where were these same women when Leslie Jones was attacked merely because she chose a role to be a Ghostbuster in a film? Where were these same women when Jemele Hill was being attacked by the President of the United States while she was speaking her mind off of work time, right? So yeah. If you're going to fight for women and say that you're a feminist, then you have to fight for all women, and that includes trans women. Unfortunately, too many times we see that women are bifurcated and separated out, and that does not lead to progress for all of us as a whole.
And I think those are the words that caught my attention. I was doing a lot of research yesterday. And again, I thank you so much for getting my message at like 4 a.m. and responding by 6, knowing what kind of day you were going to have. But yours is a piece I wanted to talk about, because when we acknowledge Martin Luther King Jr., when we respect the day that he was assassinated, when we pay homage to him, you know, people think of volunteering, and that is part of what his message was. But it's also about justice and finding out what you are doing in the fight for equality. And the distinction you make between accomplice an ally, and people feel like, oh, you know, I support that movement. What does it mean to be an accomplice then in the movement?
Right. So an ally is someone who is passive, you know, someone who says to you, you know what, I see that you are really having trouble here and I feel badly for you. And that's great, but it doesn't really get you any further in the cause for justice and liberation. An accomplice, on the other hand, is someone who is active, someone who acknowledges that there is a problem and then commits to stand in the gap for those who are less fortunate than themselves. We all are privileged in some way as a cis, heterosexual, black, able-bodied woman, I know that I have privilege over my LGBT plus women and men friends, right? Because it's easier for me to be a straight person in America than it is to be a queer person in America. So what I have to do to attempt to be an accomplice is put my head down, listen, read. As you say, the internet is accessible and free for as long until they change the rules via net neutrality. And then put my body, put my platform, put my thoughts and actions into actions for those who are marginalized for me. That's what an accomplice is, as opposed to someone who is an ally and just thinks that, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to get a gold star or a cookie because they feel badly for someone else.
How do you keep showing up, April? That's my question. We're talking to April Rain. She is the Senior Director of Marketing for Fractured Atlas and the creator of hashtag Oscars So White. How do we, you know, win people? Not win, I guess you keep showing up. How do you keep showing up and trying to get this message across? How do you maintain that level of energy and commitment?
Because we're not finished. And so there is still more work to be done. You know, I have decided that my life's calling is working with issues of diversity and inclusion and entertainment. And so until my children and all children in this country are able to see themselves on screen, to see some experiences that reflect their life, not just during award season, but any month during the year, then there's still more work for me to do, and everyone to do, in causes and movements that resonate with them.
I want to talk about that. Let's take a break here. We're talking to April Rain, and you can find her piece that she wrote this weekend about Martin Luther King at history.com. You can also go to her webpage. What's your website?
It's Rain of April, R-E-I-G-N of April.com.
I have so many things in front of me. I'm like, I was going to pick it up, and I'm like, I think I have it somewhere. There you go. So go visit her website, learn more, find out how you can participate rather than watch. We're talking to April, and we'll talk to her in just a moment on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio as we wind down our Monday. Many people had the day off, and maybe you found a way to volunteer, participate in your community. Maybe you listened to some of the great speeches by Martin Luther King Jr. We talk a lot about the quotes of whether it's Martin Luther King Jr. or Winston Churchill. My son's very interested in history, and we talk about what it means, what role we play in making sure we are aware of what's going on and participating. And April Rain joins us. She is a senior marketing director of Fractured Atlas and the creator of the movement hashtag Oscars So White. In 2015 and 2016, in the major categories, there was not a single person of color who was nominated. And April, is this something that you noticed your entire life when you would watch these award shows, that how the underrepresentation, did it sting every year?
I think, you know, I've been a watcher of the Oscars for over 30 years, and I think for so long, you don't notice the normal, and unfortunately, yeah, having nothing but very homogenous groups, both in front of the camera and behind the camera, were very, very normal. I'm not sure what it was in January of 2015 that really made me sit up and take notice and say, hey, you know, there is no one in front of the camera and, in fact, behind the camera. And even with those categories that had mixed gender, like best director, best cinematographer, and so on, they were almost all men. And so I took to Twitter in January 2015 and said, Oscars So White, they asked to touch my hair. And that began the beginning of this movement.
My news guy, I got David Jennings up in the newsroom, has a question as well. David, April, David.
April, I'm just curious for your perception on something. The lack of representation of African Americans in all parts of the film industry at award shows. That's nothing new. It's been going on for years. Are you surprised at how quickly things have shifted for women?
I don't think that they have shifted at all for women. You know, if you look at what we just saw at the Golden Globes, there were no women directors who were nominated.
Natalie Portman made that point painfully clear.
Right. And, despite the fact that we had both Dee Reese and we also had Patty for Wonder Woman. So I think, an Oscar So White, to be very clear, was never meant to be binary. It was never just about black people. It's about all marginalized communities, and that's regardless of gender, sexual orientation, race, disability, First Nation status, and age, just to name a few. So I think we still have a long way to go in all of those categories. You know, why is it that here we are in 2018 and we've never had a rom-com, a romantic comedy, that starred two people from the LGBT plus community? Why is it that here we are in 2018, and although we have the fantastic Sir Patrick Stewart playing a disabled superhero in Professor X in the X-Men franchise, Professor Xavier, but we've never actually had a disabled person playing a superhero. So there are a lot of things that need to happen before we can say that there's been any type of seismic shift. You know, in the 90 years that the Academy has been giving out awards, only 4 women have been nominated for director, and only one has ever won. You cannot tell me that there have not been qualified women directors in 90 years. Or, so we still have a lot further to go.
And what are women told? I mean, because I have talked to a filmmaker who said she's a black woman, and she said she's been in meeting with producers and been told that movies by people of color just don't make money. Are people still being told that?
Yes, and it's a bold-faced lie. There's just no other way to put it at this point. And there are so many examples. If you look at Hidden Figures, which had 3 black female leads last year, it is the highest grossing film ever nominated for Best Oscar, ever. For Best Picture. You look at films like Coco this year, right? Which Coco was a character that no one had ever seen before. This is a young Mexican kid who played his guitar for Ghost. And yet, for 3 weeks straight, Coco outperformed the most recent Justice League film, which had all of the characters that we had known for decades. You know, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and yet they were beat by this little unknown kid. And that tells you that representation matters, that diverse movies sell, and that movies about the experiences of the marginalized can both open here in the States and overseas.
And it's an incredible movie. I mean, my mom's from Mexico, and I wasn't raised necessarily with the strict tradition of the Day of the Dead. And I just thought the storytelling of that is incredible. In the same way, when I saw the movie Mudbound, I have a degree in history, and I knew about sharecropping and, you know, a little bit of what went on during, you know, maybe World War II and race relations. That movie is unbelievable and breathtaking. And I don't know why. Why is it only on Netflix?
Well, I mean, that's not the issue anymore, right?
It's not,
you know,
right.
Ava's movie 13th about mass incarceration was only on Netflix, and yet it was still nominated for an Academy Award. So that's one of the really interesting things that's happening in Hollywood right now, that certain movies are deciding that they can have more power, more flexibility, and even more distribution by going directly to Netflix or some of the other, you know, Amazon is obviously, we've seen them do very well at the Golden Globes and other award ceremonies instead of going to the big screen. We also see that there's more creativity. You know, if you think about the big Hollywood studio heads, the vast majority of them are still run by older white males. But if you think about Amazon, if you think about Netflix and Hulu and a few others, there are younger people who may have a different frame of reference in charge, which means that it's easier for films that reflect different experiences to actually get made and to get supported. So the movie like Proud Mary, you know, that starred Taraji P. Henson, that was a big budget studio film, and yet it didn't get the promotion it did, so it may not do as well as something that came out on Netflix. So Netflix is no longer an issue for anyone.
I want to make sure that people understand, because, you know, for a lot of listeners, they're like, well, that's just the movies. What difference does it make? You know, it's just entertainment. And so I want to bring this together, talking about Martin Luther King Jr. today and the idea of fighting for social equality and the idea that representation matters. What would you say to folks who say, well, that's just entertainment. What difference does it make?
Well, the arts reflect life, and life is reflected in the arts. It is a two-way street, and this is the entertainment that we choose. And so why should we not have more representation? Why, you know, this is the way that some folks learn history, right? And so why shouldn't we learn more about the Native American community? Where are the documentaries on Standing Rock, right? You know, how, if you don't want to Google, if you don't have any friends from a particular community, you can at least, you know, the theory goes, go to the movies and learn something that you didn't already know if you don't feel like Googling it. So it's incredibly important that we have these images that are not the same day in and day out, and that reflect the experiences of the people that are actually sitting in the audience after having paid their hard-earned money for tickets.
I have enjoyed talking to you so much. Again, we've been talking to April Rein. You can go to reignofapril.com. That's R-E-I-G-N of April.com. And your Twitter handle is of the same?
Absolutely. Brand consistent.
Well, what can people do? I mean, what's your call to action for people who just don't even know where to start with participating, with getting involved in fighting for equality?
Right. The first thing is to read and to learn more. The second thing is not to ask the people who are oppressed to explain to you what their life story is, right? Because we're tired. And as we keep saying, you know, Google is free and available, and there are enough movies, books, podcasts out there that you can inform yourself without having to impose on a friend, you know, your one black friend or your one gay friend or whatever the case
or,
may
or
be.
Or the woman, you're like, is it really that bad? Is sexual harassment that big of a deal? Yeah, you're absolutely right.
There are certain questions that just shouldn't be asked at this point. But then just get involved. You know, decide what it is that you want to do. Listen, read more.